Turning again in God's Word to Psalm 102. Psalm 102. My brother Tommy informs me that the offering for Let the Bible Speak was somewhere around £500. So that was a good offering last week. And we do thank you for your giving to God's work in that sense. Some people have been asking about George Gibson in hospital. Really nothing much has changed. He's still really in the same position. And so continue to pray for George that the Lord will meet his need at this time. I believe only the Lord really can bring healing and bring a change. And so do remember George and pray that God's hand will be upon him for good. Psalm 102. And just as we turn to God's word, let's seek and ask the Lord now for his help as we come to the preaching of his truth today. Our loving God and our Father in heaven, we thank you for the privilege that is ours once again to be found before the word of the living God. We thank you, Lord, that in this last Lord's Day of this year, that, Lord, thou hast been good to us in this sense that we're found in your house. We're found gathered in your name around your word, meeting with thee and hearing from thee. We pray, O God, thou wouldst give us ears to hear the truth of God's word today. We pray, O God, you give to each one of us a teachable heart. Take from us the word. Take from us all that was a distraction to the hearing of truth today. We pray, O God, thou wouldst give us light. We recognize, Lord, that as well as thy word, we need light in our souls. We need understanding. We need thee, O God, to come upon us by your Spirit. And so we pray, O Lord, you'll come upon us this day. And as your word is preached, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we are found in God's house in this last Lord's Day of 2018. We are reminded once more of the onward and unstoppable march of time. In approximately 36 hours, the whole of 2018 will have been consigned to history. It will merely be a thing of the past. This year has come. Very soon, it will have been gone. The psalmist declares in Psalm 144, verse 4, "Man, his days are as a shadow that passeth away." This is something that I'm sure we can all relate to as we think back over the last 12 months. It seems no time ago that we just started out on the path of 2018. And it seemed that we had 12 months before us. 52 weeks, 365 days, and this was all before us. This was a time yet to be lived. And yet, here we are now, about to step off this path. The path of 2018. Never to walk it again. Time has gone by so quickly. Our days are as a shadow. They pass away. But as we watch the sun set on another year, as we come to the final hours and moments of 2018, it is a solemn reminder to us that we live in a world of change. That we're all creatures of change. This is what time does. It brings change. Time brings with it change. From this time last year, we are all 1 year older. And that simple fact that we've aged by 1 year points to the reality of change. It points to the reality that we are creatures of change. Now, unless you're young and you have not yet reached the prime of your life, the change you've experienced is one of aging. It is one where your body is growing older and weaker. And perhaps this year you felt this in your own strength. You felt a weakness. You felt a weariness. You've maybe even felt sickness over the past year. And so this year has been a year for change. Sometimes we don't notice change in our lives dramatically. But think for a moment of the strength and vigor you possessed 20 years ago. Or 30 years ago. Or of the energy and strength you had as a young person. In your early 20s. You had vigor, you had strength, you had youthfulness. And now consider the strength and energy you have today. At the end of 2018. If you're honest, you will acknowledge there is a dramatic change. Time has brought about change. A decline in strength and vigor. A weakening of your physical frame is what inevitably happens as time rolls on. The passing of the year then is one of the greatest reminders to us of our own changeableness. It reminds us of our weakness and our mortality, that our days are quickly passing, and that very soon they will all be spent. But as we come to God's Word today, I want us to consider a verse of Scripture that reminds us that our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the unchanging and the unchangeable One. Notice with me the words of verse 27 here in Psalm 102. But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. Here we are told in a very clear and emphatic manner that Christ is the One who does not change. The One who is without change. It says, but thou art the same. Meaning, Christ never changes. And then it says, and thy years shall have no end. This is the phrase that really caught my attention, because this is how God's Spirit highlights and emphasizes to us the unchangeable character of Christ, by saying, thy years shall have no end. In other words, time will not change Christ. And the passing of years does not change Christ. It doesn't alter Him in any way whatsoever. He is always the same. And so with every year that passes, Christ doesn't change at all. Time changes everything. And this is something the psalmist has just been speaking of here in this very psalm. Notice what it says in verses 25 and 26. Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment, as a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. This world and all that is in it is changed by time. It is perishing. It is waxing old. It is changing. But the great contrast is Christ. Thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. Today then, as we come to think on this verse, the words of verse 27, I want us to consider our unchanging and our unchangeable Savior. Our unchanging and unchangeable Savior. As changeable creatures living in a changeable world, the only way we can know real and lasting peace, joy and hope is by being anchored in the One who changes not. We are changing, and change brings with it fear. Change brings with it anxiety and stress and trouble. As we change, we are waxing old. We are perishing with this perishing world. And that in itself is an awful thought. But in the midst of all of this change and decay and waxing old and perishing, there is great comfort to remember there's One who changes not. And we can be anchored to this One. We can be resting in this One. The hymn writer Henry Francis Light expressed this very well in his hymn, Abide With Me. As Henry Light wrote this hymn, he knew that his time was short here on earth. He was terminally ill. And in his weakness, he penned the words, change and decay all around I see. O thou that changest not, abide with me. In a changing world, facing changing and difficult circumstances, Henry Light found the greatest comfort in resting in his unchanging Savior. Trust this afternoon as we consider something for the One who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Our hearts too will rest with joy and delight in Him who changes not. We will find comfort, and we will find encouragement for our souls and strength of faith in this blessed reality that our Savior is unchanging and unchangeable. There are three things I want us to notice about Christ here and in regard to how He is our unchanging and unchangeable Savior. The first thing I want us to see is Christ is unchangeable in His person. He is unchangeable in His person. The One who is in view in our text is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is something we learn from the New Testament, because this very passage is quoted in New Testament in the book of Hebrews. And we see there in the book of Hebrews that it's actually speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn over with me to Hebrews chapter 1 just for a moment. And it's important to see this because it reminds us that the words in Psalm 102 are speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Speaking about the One who is our Savior. The One who is our Redeemer. Psalm 102 verse 12. Notice what it says here. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and the years shall not fail. Notice here, these words at the end of verse 12 are almost the very same words that are found in Psalm 102, verse 27. In fact, verses 10 to 12 here in Hebrews 1 is a quotation. This is just a quotation from Psalm 102. But in the book of Hebrews, what we learn is this. It is Christ that has been referred to. You see, in Hebrews 1, Christ is the one that has been spoken of. This is very clear from verse 8. Notice what it says. But unto the Son, he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is thy scepter, is the scepter of thy kingdom. And so God is speaking to his Son here. It is the Son that is in view in Hebrews chapter 1. Therefore, as God by his Spirit says, but thou art the same, and the years shall have no end. It is the Son of God that is in view. It is Christ, it is our Savior that is spoken of here. He is the unchanging one. What we now need to consider is how Christ is the unchanging one. How is this one who is unchanging in his person? We know that the Lord Jesus came into this world and that he was born of Mary and that he grew up through childhood, youth and into manhood. And so in this sense there was a physical change in the life of the Lord Jesus as he lived in this world. Yet at the same time, he was unchanged in his person. He was unchanged in his essence. Despite the fact that Christ took our humanity into union with his deity, and even through all of the normal process of physical human development, he all of the time remained unchanged in his essence, or unchanged in his person. And this is what these words in our text, thou art the same, mean. They speak of how Christ is unchanged in his person. He never changes in who he is, as the Son of God, as the eternal person of God the Son. How then is Christ always the same? How is he unchanging in his person? Well, let me give you four things which are unchanging and unchangeable about Christ's person. First of all, we can say Christ is unchanging in his purity. He's unchanging in his purity. His holiness, his purity has always and will always be impeccable. He is the impeccably holy and righteous and sinless one. 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us Christ knew no sin. Hebrews 4:15 tells us Christ is without sin. And 1 Peter 2:22 tells us Christ did no sin. And so the testimony of Scripture is this. The Lord Jesus knew no sin, was without sin, and did no sin. He therefore is unchanging in his purity. He is completely without sin, without blemish, without fault. He knew not even sin. There's no sin found in him. He is unchanging in his purity. The unchanging nature of Christ's purity is something the Christian needs to constantly remember. And the reason why we need to keep Christ's purity always before us is because his purity, his sinlessness, his impeccability is our righteousness. It's our righteousness. This is what we have to present before God, Christ's righteousness. This is what we rest on as Christ's people. We don't rest upon our own righteousness. We don't rest upon our own purity. Because it is always changing. And we're always failing. But as God's people, we rest upon the unchanging purity of an unchanging Savior. Therefore, we're always accepted before God. We can come before God day or night. We can come before God at any time. Why? Because we have got a Savior who's unchanging in his purity. And that purity is our acceptance before God. That's a glorious thought. A most powerful thought. Oh yes, we fail and we sin and our sin grieves us and at times we think we are so unworthy and we are. But our worthiness, our standing before God is in the unchanging purity of our unchanging Savior, you see. That is a blessed truth. Maybe today you're found in God's house and you're troubled because of your failure and you feel so unworthy even to come before God and to pray. And maybe even as you go to pray, you feel so ashamed and guilt takes over and you feel so unworthy. My friend, let me tell you this. You have a Savior who's unchanging in his purity. And that is such value and virtue. You can plead that always before Christ. This is what thrills my soul today. Because I know I am such a failure. But my Savior is unchanging in His purity. That's who He is. That never changes. So as we think about the Christ unchanging person, we can say He's unchanging in His purity. We can also say He's unchanging in His power. In His power. In our text, this idea is very much brought before us. Years and time make no change to the power and strength of Christ. They make no change whatsoever. His years have no end. He's always the same. Therefore, His power is never diminished. It's never weakened with age. In our study of the Song of Solomon, we noted how Christ's hair or locks are described as bushy and black as a raven. And the thought is Christ is ever youthful. His strength is never diminished. His hair is like the black raven. There's no grey hairs, in other words. There's no sign of weakness. There's no sign of decay. He is the one who's ever youthful. Therefore, He continually possesses power. The same power. Omnipotent power. What a great comfort this is as we labor for Christ in this world. Jesus Christ's power hasn't changed. As He worked in the past, as He worked in Bible times, so He can still work today. As He worked in the days of the Acts of the Apostles, so He can still work today. As He worked during the Reformation, so He can still work today. As He worked at the times of revival in our own nation, so He can work today. Why? Because He's unchanging in His power. And we can labor on, therefore, expecting this unchanging God to move with His unchanging power. The unchanging nature of Christ's power is something that is a great encouragement as we labor. But of course it will be a great encouragement, it will be a great comfort of the Christian as we come to leave this world. As we come to die, when we feel our own power and our own strength diminished to such a point that we're gasping for breath. And the grave looms large before us. What a comfort it is to remember that the one who is our Savior hasn't lost His power. And we're kept by His hand. And that power never changes, whether that is in life or whether that is in death. And so we see Christ in His person is unchanging in His purity, His power. He's also unchanging in His passion. The love the Lord Jesus has for His people, it's not only an undeserved love. It's not something we deserve. And it's not only an unlimited love, boundless, but it's also an unchanging love. His love for us is unchanging. John 13:1 says, Jesus, having loved His own which were in the world, He loved them unto the end. He loved them unto the end. And the word end means continually. Continually. The believer, the Christian, never ceases to be the object of Christ's saving love. We are continually in Christ's focus. Continually the object of His love. Even when we sin, and when we grieve the Lord by our waywardness and foolishness, even when our hearts are cold, and our love is faint for Him, His love towards us, it never changes. Never changes. He loves His bride. He loves His people with a perfect fullness of love. Yes, at times Christ might manifest His love towards His wayward people in a different way or in different ways. He chastens us. He corrects us. But the Bible tells us whom He loves. He chastens. The heart of the Savior is continually filled with love for His people. Maybe today, believer, as you're found in God's house in this last Lord's Day of this old year, you're far away from Christ. And if truth was to be told, throughout this year you've walked afar off. Your love hasn't been what it ought to have been. You haven't loved Christ, you haven't served Christ, you haven't honored Him in your life as you ought to have honored Him. Well, let me say this. Christ's love, His love for His own,
is always the same. For he loves his own unto the end. His love for you has not changed. Not changed one iota. Just like the prodigal son's father stood and waited for his wayward boy, so Christ in love longs to see you returning to him again. That you might be close to him. And you might live in fellowship with him again. I want you to understand that today. Yes, you might be careless and you might be wayward. But Christ is not one bit careless or wayward in regard for his love towards you. He's unchanging in his passion and his love. As we think of Christ's unchanging person, we also see here Christ is unchanging his perfection. What this basically means is Christ cannot change because he is perfect. He cannot change because he is perfect. Hebrews 3:8 declares Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the reason why the Lord Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever is because he is perfect. He exists in a state of perfection. And that which is perfect cannot change. That which is perfect cannot change. A change in perfection could only mean imperfection. Because if something is perfect, it cannot be made better. If something is perfect, it cannot be improved upon. It can only be made worse. Christ, because he cannot change, he is the one that is unchanging in his perfection. What does this mean for the Christian? What are we to learn from this great truth that Christ, because of his perfection, cannot change? Well, it ought to fill our hearts with the greatest peace and joy. Our Savior, in whom our salvation is found, is unchangingly perfect. Therefore, he cannot fail us. This is an impossibility. Christ cannot fail his people. He cannot fail us in regard to anything because he's unchangingly perfect. Unchangingly perfect. He prayed in John 17:12, those that thou givest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost. None of them is lost. Those that you have given to me, I have kept. None is lost. And the reason why Christ could pray these words is because he is perfect. He cannot fail. This is our Savior. This is our Redeemer. The one who's unchanging in his person. What a wonderful Savior we have. The unchanging one. The one who cannot change. And so we see here as we think of our unchanging and unchangeable Savior. He's unchangeable in his person. But then notice with me also here, Christ is unchangeable in his purpose. He's unchangeable in his purpose. Again, this is a thought which arises from the words in our text, but thou art the same. Christ's purpose or his plan is and always has been the same. Because we are creatures of change, the purposes and plans that we have in life are always changing. As we grow up and grow older, our plans and purposes are continually altering. When we were children, we had purposes that were simple and childish. We wanted childish things. We get into our youth. Our purposes perhaps were to get married, to find a partner in life, to have a career. In middle age, we were wanting to be successful perhaps. And then as we come to older age, we want just to take it easy and relax. And so there's this change in purpose, this change in plan, always in our lives. But this is not the case with Christ. He is not only unchanging in his person, he is also unchanging in his purpose. The great question then is, what is Christ's great unchanging purpose? What is the great unchanging purpose of Christ? What is this purpose of Christ that never alters or changes? Well, in 2 Timothy 1:9, the Apostle Paul reminded Timothy of Christ's great purpose. Paul says to Timothy, Christ has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. Do you think of what Paul is saying to Timothy there? Christ has saved us, he's called us according to his own purpose. According to his own purpose and grace. This is Christ's great unchanging purpose, calling and saving his people. That is what he is, that is what a single purpose is, as the Savior of his people. The Lord Jesus in the book of Revelation is referred to as the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now think of that term. Christ is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Before there was a world, in the mind of Christ, he was the Lamb slain before the world. Before there was a sinner, Christ was the Lamb slain. Why? Because this is his one singular great eternal purpose. As the Savior of his people, it is to call them and to save them. Think also of that time when Joseph and Mary lost the Lord Jesus when he was only a child of 12 years of age. And when they eventually found him, Christ said to them, "How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" You see, even as a child, as a young person of only 12 years of age, Christ had one purpose. To be about his Father's business. The business of saving his people. It is important that we as God's people, as we live in this world, understand something of Christ's unchanging purpose. For in understanding Christ's unchanging purpose, this is something that will greatly help us in living the Christian life. It is actually something that can save us from getting discouraged and save us from getting downhearted as we live in a wicked world. Understanding Christ's great purpose. You see, as we remember, as we keep before us Christ's unchanging purpose to save his people, it helps us to do a number of things. It helps us, first of all, to see clearly. It helps us to see clearly as Christ's children. We live in a world filled with wicked chaos and confusion. That's a reality. We see this in every stratum of society. Politically, what chaos, what confusion, what mayhem. We have had a year of it. Politically. Brexit and all the rest of the commotion that went with it. There's all of these things continually happening. Religiously, what chaos there is religiously. False doctrine, false religion. Atheism. Socially. Our world is filled with chaos. Immorality and wickedness. Debauchery. The psalmist talked of the wicked and great power and spreading like a green bay tree. And we can easily identify with this. We live in a wicked world, a sinful world. But as we see the spread and promotion of wickedness, the danger is we can become discouraged. We can become discouraged as God's people. What's going to happen to our country? What's going to happen to the church? Young people seem to have no interest. Things seem to be waxing worse and worse. There's wickedness and mayhem at every level. And things today seem worse than ever they were. And we sometimes wonder, what is going to happen? What's going to be the end of these things? But you know what's going to happen? Christ's great unchanging purpose. That's exactly what's going to happen. Christ's great unchanging purpose. Christ is going to build his church. Has he not already said this to us? He said, "I will build my church, and not even the gates of hell shall prevail against it. Not even all the powers of darkness are going to stop this." He's going to build his church. That's what's going to happen. You see, when we remember Christ's great unchanging purpose, it helps us to see clearly. And to see all of the nonsense in this world, all of the huffing and puffing of wicked men and women is all but a sideshow. There's something far greater and far bigger continually taking place. And that is, from every kindred and tongue and people and nation, Christ is fulfilling his great purpose. He's building his church. He's saving his lost. He's gathering his sheep. And when he has finished this great purpose, when every soul for whom the Savior has died have been safely gathered into Christ's fold, he'll bring the world to an end. That's why this world is going on in the state it is, until Christ has finished his great purpose. The only reason why the world goes on, the only reason, because Christ has not finished his great purpose yet of calling and saving his people. You see, we must not lose sight of this. For this enables us to see clearly in the midst of the chaos and confusion. It enables us to put things into their proper perspective. The most important thing in life, it's not politics. It's not social issues. It's Christ's great purpose. For that's why this world is going on in the way it is. I once heard one preacher speak of how politics and the powers of this world and all of the things that politicians do are just like those in the Titanic rearranging the deck chairs. The Titanic was doomed. It was going down. Rearranging the deck chairs was a very temporary thing. But you know, so this world is. It's going down. It's finished. It's doomed. It's heading for the iceberg of judgment. And it's heading for the cold waters of eternal damnation. And all of the politics of this world and all of the commotion and busyness and all of the things that people are taking up with this world is just like rearranging the deck chairs. It's all temporary. But there's one thing that's not temporary. And that's Christ's great eternal purpose, saving his people. That's what we need to see. That's what we need to understand. That's what we need to keep in view. So as we keep before us Christ's great unchanging purpose, it helps us to see clearly. It also helps us to serve committedly. To serve committedly. As Christ's people, it is our role in this world to serve Christ. This is something which the Word of God brings before us time and time again. 1 Corinthians 3 and 9 tells us we are laborers together with God. Christ commanded his disciples, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And of course, this is an application to every single Christian. We are to be involved in the work of Christ. But as we serve Christ, as we labor for him, we need to ever keep before us that we labor to fulfill Christ's great unchanging purpose. This is what we labor for. This is what we witness for. To fulfill Christ's great purpose of saving his people. Christ is a people that will be saved. He is a people in this world that will come to him. He has said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And there we see Christ's great unchanging purpose shall not fail. It will be accomplished because all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Therefore, knowing Christ's great unchanging purpose should drive us forward to serve him and to serve him with purpose and with encouragement. As we labor, as we pray, as we seek to win souls for Christ, we ought to do so with great encouragement because Christ has a people. He has a purpose. He just didn't die on the cross hoping people would come to him. No, he died for a particular people and they all will be gathered in. This is his purpose. Therefore, we ought to labor with great commitment. We ought to pray. We ought to serve. Because Christ has this unchanging purpose. Again, these things ought to bring comfort and consolation to our hearts. Christ is unchanging in his person, unchanging in his purpose. Notice with me quickly one other thing here. Christ is unchanging in his promises. Thou art the same. Thou art the same means that which he has said will not fail. That which he has promised will most assuredly come to pass. This is something which has great significance for all people. The truth that Christ's promises are unchanging is something that is of great significance to every single person. The fact that Christ is unchanging in his promises should bring great comfort to the saints. It should fill our hearts with joy and delight. Speaking of the sheep, in John 10:28, the Lord Jesus says, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. This is the promise of the one who cannot lie, the one whose word is unchanging. He promises his sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish, or they shall never be plucked from his care. Promise to us. The promise he gives us. We belong to him. We always shall. There is the greatest comfort in the unchanging promises of an unchanging Savior. But the fact that Christ is unchanging in his promises should not only bring great comfort to the saints, it should also bring great concern to the sinner. You see, the promise of the one whose word cannot fail, his promise to the unrepenting sinner is this: they shall go away into everlasting punishment. That's Christ's promise to you who reject Christ. They shall go away into everlasting punishment. Just as the promise of Christ will be fulfilled to the saint, so it will be fulfilled to the sinner. His promises are unchanging. And so all that reject him will receive exactly what he has said: eternal punishment, the damnation and condemnation, outer darkness and hell. There will be no change in the mind of Christ in the death judgment. Oh, be assured of that. He's always the same. How many think that in the day of judgment they will come before God and they will argue their own righteousness? They will seek to defend themselves. And they will seek to argue how they are better than other people are. How many think that way? But you know, there's no such thing as changing the mind of God. God says those that reject him are condemned. Of course, Christ's great promise to sinners in this world, his promise to sinners in the gospel, is whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And he also promises, him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Sinner, this is Christ's gracious promise to you. That promise is unchanging. Doesn't matter your sin. Doesn't matter who you are, how long you've lived, or what you've done. This promise is God's promise to you. If you will believe, you will be saved. You shall come to know his so great salvation. In a changing and uncertain world, it is the most blessed and wonderful thing to have an unchanging and unchangeable Savior. One who cannot change in his person. One whose purpose is always the same. And one whose promises cannot fail. And so therefore, as we come to the end of this year and are reminded again of our changeableness, of our frailty, of our weakness, let us rejoice in our wonderful Savior, our unchanging and unchangeable, our mighty Redeemer and Lord. Let us delight in him and rejoice. If you're saved today, rejoice that you belong to him, that you're connected to the one. As Henry Light said, change and decay all around I see. O thou that changest not, abide with me. Let us delight in the one that abides with us as people and dwell for all eternity. Let's close our meeting in a word of prayer. Our loving God and our Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for who thou art. We thank you for your greatness and your power, for your unchangeableness. Lord, in our changeableness, we feel our own weakness. We feel how poor we are. And yet we rejoice, O Lord, that thou art the one who came into this world to save us, to redeem us. And your word is faithful, your word is true, your word will not fail. And Lord, it delights us that we have an unchanging and unchangeable Savior. But Lord, we pray for those perhaps today in God's house who know not Christ as their Savior. They have got no hope. They have got no comfort in the face of death itself. We pray, O God, you'll speak to them today. And they would see their need of this unchangeable one, this mighty one, this triumphant one. They will seek him today. Write your truth upon each one of our hearts. Let those that will leave remember us around the Lord's table. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.